चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम बैक टू द भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर इन द नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन। वी विल जस्ट बी कंप्लीटिंग द वेव ऑफ नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन विच टॉक्स अबाउट वैदी भक्ति एंड देन विल मूव टू रागानुग भक्ति। सो वैदी भक्ति एंड रागानुग भक्ति बोथ आर पार्ट्स ऑफ साधना भक्ति। एंड इन साधना भक्ति द 64 आइटम्स वर डिस्कस्ड एंड आफ्टर डिस्कसिंग द 64 आइटम्स टुवर्ड्स द एंड ऑफ द लास्ट चैप्टर द डिस्कशन स्टार्टेड अबाउट वॉट इज द रिलेशनशिप ऑफ साधना भक्ति और स्पेसिफिकली वैदी भक्ति विथ अदर एस्पेक्ट्स। सो इज साधना भक्ति डिपेंडेंट ऑन वर्णाश्रम? रूप गोस्वामी इज ऑलरेडी डिस्कस दिस इनिशियली अर्लियर ओनली एंड वी डिस्कस्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु rejected the self identification with any of the varanas or any of the ashramas. So bhakti is not dependent on varna or ashram, and we see some of the greatest devotees where where from the what is conventionally considered lower castes or even the outcasts, but they are all considered to be great devotees. So bhakti is not dependent on varna ashram. Now in this chapter 9, chapter 14, devotional qualifications. So here the focus shifts onto Srila Prabhupada is going to discuss knowledge and renunciation. So some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But Prabhupada immediately says, actually, that is not a fact. So Jnana and Vairagya are not included in the 64 items of devotional service directly. And we may say that, how is this? Aren't they important in the spiritual path? Yes, they may be important in the spiritual path, but we are not talking about a general spiritual path. We are talking about the devotional path, Bhakti Yoga. And in Bhakti Yoga, Jnana and Vairagya are not integral elements. They can be helpful, but they are not always necessarily helpful. So, and from the academic, from the perspective of the impersonalists, they consider that the essence of spiritual advancement is to cultivate knowledge and to develop renunciation. So the idea is, we see even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's older brother, Vishwarupa, takes sannyas, then his parents, by his father especially, Jagannath Mishra, says that let us stop the studies of Nimai. And what is the reason he gives? He says if he studies the Shastras, then he will realize how this world is a place of misery, and then he will also want to renounce the world. And when he renounces, and then we will lose him also. So better let him not study the Shastra. So the idea is, in the traditional sense, Jnana will lead to Vairagya. Knowledge engenders renunciation, because we understand how this world is temporary and how we need to go beyond this world. But in today's culture, Jnana is not leading to Vairagya most of the time. In fact, Jnana leads to Raga. In fact, Raga has got nothing to do with Raganuga Bhakti. That is an entirely different category which we'll discuss later. Raga here refers to attachment. Most knowledge today is concerned with how to enjoy the material world more. So for example, very simple example. Say somebody knows how to has the knowledge of how to operate a computer and how to surf on the net. Then with that knowledge, that person goes and starts surfing many nasty sites and contaminates one's own mind. Now to protect such a person, say some internet filters may be put on the computer so that the person doesn't go to any wrong sites. But if the person has a lot of jnana, that person may know how to bypass those filters and do whatever business, whatever nonsense is to, whatever wants to do, without being detected. So what is happening? The jnana is being used for what? For raga, for enjoying more and more. Srila Prabhupada also states this in one of his letters. He says, we are meant to use our intelligence to control the enjoying mentality, but our problem is that we are used to enjoying intelligently. Actually, there is no such thing as intelligent enjoyment. Intelligent enjoyment would be actually spiritual enjoyment. All material enjoyment is ignorant enjoyment. But intelligent enjoyment, Prabhupada uses to refer to the fact that we use our intelligence to further our enjoyment. And we see most of technology is used for that purpose. So when there are computer screens which are display with a very high clarity images, and then what do people use it to see nasty images and contaminate their minds? So basically, jnana leads to raga in today's society. Now, in the impersonalist path, the idea is if we get jnana, then we'll get vairagya. And then we get jnana about vairagya. So Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. So their idea is the jnana will help us understand how Brahma is Satya. And by vairagya, Jagan Mithya will give it up. That is the idea. Now that is in one sense true, but the whole philosophical foundation is incomplete. This world is not false, it is temporary. And Brahma is not just an impersonal oneness, Brahma is a person. And you have to develop love for that person. So we cannot approach Krishna merely through knowledge. Earlier we discussed the example of an analytical and an aesthetic approach towards a flower. So the jnani approach is like the analytical approach towards the absolute truth. But it might lead to some passive meditation on the absolute truth, but it doesn't lead to active attraction. So for active attraction, we need an aesthetic appreciation. You know, we appreciate Krishna as a person. As a person who loves and who loves to be loved. Krishna loves us and he loves to be loved by us. He is bhavagrahi, he is bhaktavatsala, he is hungry for the devotion of his devotees. And he wants us to love him, and we express our love through serving him. So this requires not just analytical understanding, but a aesthetic appreciation, which is expressed through devotion and through service. So for the path of bhakti, jnana and vairagya are definitely not necessary, and they are not always anukul. Why not always anukul? Because when we have jnana or vairagya, too much analysis will make us see the absolute truth as primarily an object of analysis, not an object of devotion. And if we have too much vairagya, if we just say no to emotions, then not only do we say no to material emotions, but we end up saying no to spiritual emotions also. So actually we want to be detached, but detached from Maya, not from Krishna. In fact, our problem, many people think that our problem is attachment. But actually our problem is not attachment. Our problem is detachment. Our problem is not attachment to Maya. Our problem is detachment from Krishna. Because we are detached from Krishna, that's why we fall. Our pleasure-seeking propensity makes us look for alternative sources of pleasure other than Krishna, and then we become attracted to Maya, and then we fall into illusion and the temptations that illusion presents us. So to correct the situation, what we need is not detachment but attachment. We need attachment to Krishna. And of course, along with attachment to Krishna, we also need attachment from matter. We have discussed in an early Rishopanishad class these four categories of people, if you remember. Now, those who are attached to matter and detached from Krishna. Are attached to Maya, detached from Krishna. They are the materialists. Those who are detached from matter and attached to Krishna, they are the devotees. So materialists and the devotees, they are the extreme. So one devotees are detached from matter and attached to Krishna. But actually, apart from these two categories, not two extremes, they are the two situations we can say, materialists and devotees. But in between there are those who are attached to matter and attached to Krishna. They are the sahajiyas. So they are not really authentic devotees. On the other hand, we also have those who are detached from matter and detached from Krishna also. They are the impersonalists. So for them there is no rasa. So jnana and vairagya often takes a person towards the impersonal orientation, where a person is detached from matter and detached from Krishna also. That kind of heart is not very suited for devotion to Krishna. It is not very suited for feelings, for experiencing and relishing emotions in relationship with Krishna. So of course, Jiva Goswami, in his commentary to the Bhakti Sarasamasindhu Durgam Sangamani, he explains how there is Bhakti Anukul Gyan and there is Bhakti Pratikul Gyan. So in intention in constitution and in destination. Intention means what is the goal, in constitution means what is it made up of, and destination means where it takes one. So in intention, constitution and destination, the bhakti anukul gyan is different from the bhakti pratikul gyan. Bhakti pratikul gyan, in intention the goal is, oh, it is to minimize the difference between us and God, because that is Brahma, I am Brahma, aham Brahma asmi. So in intention the idea is to focus on our oneness with God. In constitution, that knowledge leads to the drying up of the heart, because there is no difference between us and God, there is no need for relationship, there is no need for emotions. And in destination, that takes one towards impersonal Brahman, and that is definitely not favorable for bhakti. Kaivalyam narakayate, we discussed earlier on, for a devotee liberation is like hell. Now as contrasted with that, there is bhakti anukul gyan. This is an intention, constitution and destination different. In intention, this knowledge focuses on the difference between us and Krishna, so that we understand how wonderfully lovable Krishna is. So we understand we are tiny, we are Anu, Krishna is Vibhu, we are Maya Dheen, Krishna is Maya Dheesh, we are controlled by Maya, Krishna is the controller of Maya. So this knowledge, which is Bhakti Anukul, focuses on the glory of Krishna, and thereby it attracts us to love Him. So in intention, it is not to minimize the difference, but it is to highlight the difference. And then in constitution, it consists not of impersonal Brahman, it consists of the pastimes and the qualities and the glories of Krishna. And in destination, it increases the bhakti in our heart and takes us to the spiritual world, not just to the impersonal spiritual sky, but to the spiritual planets, where we live forever in love with Krishna and His intimate associates. So this is with respect to jnana. That jnana can be anukul if it is emphasizing the difference between us and the Lord. It is talking about the glories of the Lord, and it increases our devotion to the Lord and takes us to Him. And it is pratikul if it in intention is focusing on just our oneness with God. In constitution, it focuses on the qualityless, formless, activityless Brahman, and in destination, it dries up our emotions and takes us at best towards impersonal Brahman. So this is how jnana is favorable and unfavorable, depend on what's intention, constitution and destination are. And then this jnana, bhakti anukul jnana, we don't have to do any separate process, jnani process to acquire it. Just the shravanam and kirtanam that we do will help us to develop this jnana, bhakti anukul jnana. And then what about vairagya? Then, so here Rupa Goswami defines Markat Vairagya and Falgu Vairagya. We have discussed these concepts earlier. Markat means monkey. So monkey renunciation. As Prabhupada would say, that monkey seems to be very renounced. Or doesn't have any home. So lives in a forest. And doesn't even have any clothes. Now there are some renunciates called Naga Babas who say they don't wear any clothes. They say we want to live the way nature produced us. So nature produces without any clothes, so we'll live without clothes. Well, we may say like that, I want to live the way nature produced me, but then nature itself changes me. When I'm a baby, my desires are different, and as I grow up, my desires become different. So as I grow up, especially when we come into puberty, then the sexual attraction increases. And if one is unclothed, then it quite often happens that, you know, one feels more sexually agitated, and one may agitates others sexually. That's why in civilized society, the clothes are prescribed almost everywhere. So the idea is that I want to live the way the nature has produced me, but nature itself changes me. And when we recognize that nature is changing us, then we should honor that and adapt our own dress accordingly. So anyway, the point which we're making over here is, we're talking about renunciation. So like these unclothed renunciates, the monkeys may also wear and not wear any clothes. So they have no home, they have no clothes. But Prabhupada would say that they have sometimes dozens of she monkeys, and they unite with anyone and everyone like that. So that way, the monkeys are not really renounced. There's only a show of renunciation externally. But if you look closer, we'll find that there is no renunciation. So similarly, there are many people who act as renunciates, but they're not renunciates. They pseudo renunciate. They bring a bad name to the renounced order. And that sort of renunciation is not all good. So this is false renunciation. It means there is internal attachment, but there is external show of detachment. Krishna also talks about this as mithyachara sa uchyate. But this is Markat Vairagya. What Jiva Rupa Goswami talks about is two different kinds of Vairagyas. So Markat Vairagya is definitely not recommended. But he talks about Yukta Vairagya and Falgu Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is to use in Krishna's service whatever is usable, whatever is desirable. Anasaktisya Vishayan Yatharam Upayanjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. So Anasaktisya, one is not attached for oneself. Vishayan, sense objects. Without being attached to sense objects, yatharam upayunjataha, one uses as is required, as is appropriate. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Nirbandha, one does not become bound oneself, but one sees the Krishna Sambandha of everything and uses those in Krishna's service. So we may use technology. For example, now we are using the internet. We are using cell phones. We are using various other gadgets. Now, we don't use it for our own enjoyment, we use it for Krishna's service, and that is Yukta Vairagya. And on the other hand, Prapanchiktaya Abhudhyaya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mumukshubhi Parityago Vairagyam Falgu Kathyate. So, that which can be used in Krishna's service, if one renounces that and not seeing the spiritual potential, then that is considered a Falgu Vairagya. So, Falgu Vairagya and Markat Vairagya are not the same thing. Markat Vairagya is making a false show of renunciation while being renounced, attached internally. Whereas Falgu Vairagya is not understanding the spiritual potential of things and renouncing them when they can be used in Krishna's service. So for example, Prabhupada would often quote that there was some sannyasi who was so detached that he would never accept money from anyone. And at one night where he would sleep under his mat, somebody put a coin, and then he just couldn't sleep when he lay down also. And then finally he couldn't sleep, and then his followers came, and then they searched, and he found the coin. He says, as long as money is there next to me, he says, I cannot sleep. Now take the money away. And the money was taken away, then he went to sleep. And people say how renounced he was. He did not, just the presence of money took away his sleep. So, he can't tolerate the presence of money, how detached he is. But Prabhupada says this is Falgu Vairagya. Money, to see it as material and reject it, is partial vision. A more complete, and of course, to see money as meant for our enjoyment is even more incomplete vision. But the complete vision is to see money as Lakshmi Devi. And to unite Lakshmi Devi with Narayan. That means to use money in Krishna's service. That is the proper vision. So to not see this is incomplete, that is Falgu Vairagya. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes humorously say that actually far from being renounced, if you give me donation in one hand, I will put ahead my next hand. So what Prabhupada meant is that, not that he was greedy, but the point was that Prabhupada wanted to serve Krishna, and Prabhupada recognized the value of money in Krishna's service. So at one time somebody came to Prabhupada and gave a full suitcase, and Prabhupada opened a suitcase. It was filled with cash, and Prabhupada's face lit up, and there were some guests over there. They were shocked at this. Swami is so excited to see money, and then Prabhupada immediately called disciples and he said, he took out some money and he said you take this and use it for printing books. He says, you take this and start the temple construction, you take this and send it there for that devotee, you take this and do this. And just within a few minutes the suitcase was empty. And then they realized that Prabhupada was eager for money, but it's not money for use for himself. He wanted it all to be used for Krishna's service. And Prabhupada was happy, not just because he saw money the way materialists see money. Oh, now I'll get enjoyment. Prabhupada's heart was filled with the desire to serve Krishna, and the money was the tool by which he would fulfill the desire to serve Krishna. So Falgu Vairagya is not desirable. So some people say that internet is filled with so much garbage, so better never go to the internet only. So never go to the internet. Now this can be Falgu Vairagya. It's not necessary that it has to be always Falgu Vairagya. Yes, it is true that there is a lot of garbage in the internet, but it's also true that people are there on the internet. And if we don't do our outreach on the internet, if we devotees don't make our presence felt, there are impersonalists, there are people from other religions, there are other kinds of shallow teachers who are going to be present over there, and they will make their presence felt, and people will become attracted over there. So on the other hand, if somebody sees, oh, there is potential for outreach over here, and then therefore that person starts making arrangements, and then that person starts tapping the potential. Now there is danger, no doubt. One has to be cautious. So when we say yukta vairagya, no, we have to make sure that there is, the vairagya is there. It's not that vairagya is not there. So if the vairagya is not there, if there's no detachment, then one will not be able to keep the yukta. So the vairagya has to be there along with the yukta. Otherwise we'll take things, but instead of using them for Krishna's service, we'll use them for our own enjoyment. Sometimes what would happen is, the devotees at early days of our movement, it would happen that when Srila Prabhupada started the Sunday Love Feast in New York, so devotees were very enthusiastic. Oh, such a big feast. And one time it happened, the devotees, they cooked a feast for the big feast for the Sunday feast program. And the devotees, before the Sunday feast program started, they ate all the prasad. And when Prabhupada started the Sunday feast lecture, the temple managers were in panic. The Sunday feast program was going on, and there were no prasad left. So what was cooked, Sunday feast is opulent food is cooked, and that is generally meant for the new devotees who are coming, new people, potential devotees who are coming. Of course, devotees can also take the prasad. But the idea of the resident devotee, residential devotees, finishing all the Sunday feast before the guests for whom the prasad had come, prasad had been made, before the guests have come also, that was quite shocking. And it was quite displeasing. So then the devotees told, you cannot be selfish like this. Yes, they will cook more so that everybody gets enough to eat, but we have to keep the purpose in mind. So yukta vairagya, some vairagya has to be there. And while using certain technological gadgetry, if we find ourselves abusing it and not being able to, we intend to use it right, but we tend to use it wrong, then what should we do? Then we have to have some precautions. Either we stop using it, or we have some precautions by which we make sure that we don't very easily misuse it. As I said, if on internet there is danger, then there can be internet filters so that people who are duties are using it, they don't go to wrong sites or something like that. So we just can't reject the many of the things in this world, because if we reject them, then we will be falling behind. So yukta vairagya means recognizing the potential of things to be used in Krishna's service, and that using accordingly. So here, that's what Srila Prabhupada talks about in his explanation of this subject. And based on Rupa Goswami's work. So then you can read this. So Prabhupada further explains how. Now Prabhupada gives another example. So after talking about Jnana and Vairagya, now Jnana and Vairagya are considered to be good qualities. So does a devotee need to have good qualities? So Prabhupada says, a devotee is naturally non-violent and therefore doesn't have to practice non-violence separately. Some people seek purification by joining a vegetarian movement, but a devotee is automatically vegetarian. He doesn't need to practice separately in this matter or join a society for vegetarians. He is automatically a vegetarian. So here, the point is, Srila Prabhupada is doing a summary study over here. Sometimes the different points that are being mentioned may not be very clear for us. So first he talks about Jnana, he talks about Vairagya, and now he's talking about Sadguna, about good qualities. So Jnana and Vairagya can also themselves be said to be good qualities, but other good qualities also. Like here, the quality of non-violence. Now, Prabhupada says that, actually, if we practice devotion, then naturally good qualities will develop. because the soul has good qualities, and those good qualities are just covered over because of the conditioning. And as we become purified by the practice of bhakti, those conditionings are removed, and when the conditionings are removed, then naturally the good qualities become manifest. And here the example is of vegetarianism. And like that, there can be many other subjects. There are some societies which say try to de-addict people of alcohol. So it's quite an alcoholic de-addiction can be a quite a serious endeavor, and it's not worthy. It's in some ways laudable. People whose lives have been ruined by alcohol, if their lives can be brought back online by freeing them from the clutches of alcohol, that is good. But actually, for in bhakti, that happens as a byproduct. To the extent a person practices this devotional service seriously, then person gets a higher happiness, and with that higher happiness, the lower cravings go away. So that's what we have from the beginning stages of our spiritual life. We have these four regulative principles which we follow, and those four regulative principles take us away from the self-defeating activities that trouble many people. So like that, the good qualities develop in a devotee. A devotee doesn't have to do anything separately for developing good qualities. And Prabhupada tells from the story from Skanda Puran of the hunter. Now there are various talks about hunters. There is Mrugari also is a hunter. Mruga Ari. Ari means enemy, Mruga is animal. So he was an animal, enemy of animals, and he would not only kill them, but he would torture them and kill them, half kill them and leave them to suffer torture for a long time. And after he became a devotee, then he was not even ready to step on an ant. And even when he wanted to offer obeisances to his spiritual master, now somebody may rationalize, oh, offering obeisances to spiritual master is a higher purpose, so why bother about ants? No, but that he was not like that. He was sensitive. He said, yes, I have to offer obeisances for my spiritual master, but why should these ants have to die? So gently brushing away the ants and then offering obeisances. And then he was approaching the spiritual master with great gratitude and reverence. So that way, that sensitivity comes, that non-violent sensitivity, non-violence mentality comes in a devotee by the practice of devotion itself. So again, devotion is not dependent on good qualities, rather good qualities develop from devotion. So like that also, devotion, earlier we discussed, is not dependent on jnana and vairagya. But at the same time, actually if somebody has a devotion, then jnana and vairagya also develop. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam chayada hetukam. So Vasudeve bhagavati, Lord Vasudeva, who is the Supreme Lord, bhakti yoga prayojitaha, prayojitaha. If bhakti yoga is practiced toward that person, so it's a poetic metaphor over here, that when a man and a woman unite, then children are born. So Lord Vasudev is the Supreme Lord, bhakti yoga is a consort, and when there is union of the Lord and bhakti yoga, then what happens? Two children are born. Who are they? Janayati means are born. Ashu is quickly, not after a long time. Vairagyam means renunciation. Jnanam chayada haitukam. Haitukam means unmotivated. So knowledge is developed as unmotivated. That means, what does unmotivated knowledge mean? That this knowledge is not motivated by the desire for liberation, as the knowledge of the impersonal. This knowledge is simply the knowledge that deepens our love for Krishna. So jnana and vairagya also develop in a devotee. Now after talking about this, other various elements, which are how the various aspects of Vedic culture, how they are related or unrelated with bhakti. Now, in this Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada continues the discussion, and he talks about two things, ekanga and anekanga. Ekanga, anga means limb. So practicing one limb of bhakti, ekanga, or anekanga, practicing many limbs of bhakti. And he says, for example, we know, in the nine limbs of bhakti, there are devotees who attain perfection by practicing even one limb. So Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. So Shravanam, who attained perfection by Shravanam? Parikshit Maharaj. Kirtanam, Shukdev Goswami. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam, that is Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Pada Sevanam Lakshmi Devi. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Archanam is Pruthu Maharaj. Vandanam is when Nukakrura was coming into the temple, into Vrindavan, he offered beautiful prayers. Dasyam, that is Hanumanji. Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. Sakhyam is Arjuna. And Atmanivedanam is Bali Maharaj. So there are examples of devotees who practice only one limb of bhakti, and by that they attain perfection. And there are other devotees, for example, as Ambarish Maharaj Prabhupada talks about over here, he engaged all his senses in the Lord's service. Savai manaha krishna padara vindayor vachamsi vaikuntha guna anuvarnane. So he uses mind to think of the Lord, his vachamsi, his speech to vaikuntha guna anuvarnane. Is it to glorify the Supreme Lord, to speak His glories. And like that, He used all His senses. Kamam chidasyena tu kama kamyaya. And then He says, He made His desires into His servants. He did not become a servant of His desires. And so here, Ambarish Maharaj is beholding the Lord with the eyes, serving the Lord with His feet by going to the holy places, dancing in the kirtan of the Lord. So His rasa is much more exalted. It's much more sweeter not in terms of necessarily elevated rasa, but it's in terms of experiencing the richness of bhakti. So an ekanga and anekanga, so one can practice bhakti with one limb or with anek limb, many limbs, and both can help one to attain perfection. Now what should we as sadhakas do? Now we should, our fundamental dharma should also be somehow or the other fix the mind in Krishna. Yena kena prakarena mana krishna niveshayet. That is what we should focus on. So when we focus on this, yena kena prakarena, the idea is that fix the mind. So sometimes we may find just one limb absorbs so much that we can completely go into it. Some devotees like kirtans, and for them kirtan itself is a whole universe. Okay, this tune can be sung, this tune can be sung, 100 tunes can be there. And then there can be variations in each tune. And okay, with this tune the mridanga should be played like this. The kartal should be played like this. Okay, with this tune, you know, maybe some other background music is also helpful. With this tune, other background music is required. So like that, one can do so much analysis. And in that way, one can move forward in one's spiritual life towards perfection. So ekanga or anekanga, it will depend on what will help us to best absorb ourselves in Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says. Liberation becomes the maid servant of the devotee. And Prabhupada again quotes, mentions Balva Mangal Thakur, he says, Mukti Mukulantara Anjali Asmate Sevyat. That Mukti by folded hands serves the devotee. Prabhupada is maid servant. Now, here, the wave of Vaidhi Bhakti will end and Raganuga Bhakti wave will start. So Prabhupada points to that when he describes. Prabhupada says the regulative principles of devotional service are sometimes described by authorities as the path of serving the Lord in opulence. So when we know the Lord's glories and serve Him with that awareness, that is Vaidhi Bhakti, in awareness of the Lord's glory. Now from here onwards, Raganuga Bhakti will start. So spontaneous devotional service. And Prabhupada starts by saying that examples of spontaneous devotional service can be easily seen in Krishna's direct associates in Vrindavan. And then the spontaneous dealings of the residents of Vrindavan relationship with Krishna are called Ragatmika. So now there is sometimes a little confusion about these two terms. Let me explain the meaning of these terms based on some simple Sanskrit etymology. And then we will look at the way they are explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita and then try to see how they are explained in Nectar of Devotion. So Rag Atmika and Rag Anuga. So Atmika means Atma, related to the Atma. So Kamatmana Swargapara. Kamatmana Swargapara means, this is a verse which comes in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 2.43. Kamatmana Swargapara Janma Karma Phala Pradam Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhogaishwarya Gatimpati. So Kamatmana, So those whose atma is kama, that means they think that their the essential purpose of their existence is to fulfill kama, is to enjoy kama. Kama atmana swargapara. So kama atma. So raga atmika means rag is the essence of their being. So these are liberated devotees, and their essential nature and purpose and perfection is to eternally serve the Supreme Lord. So that is ragatmika. And then there is raga anuga. So anuga means following. Raga anuga means those who follow the path of raga. So it is said that actually who are the devotees who follow the path of raga? Raga anuga. It's not that they are pure devotees. The difference, if you remember, we discussed between in Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. So in Sadhana Bhakti there are these two parts. The difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti is in Vaidhi Bhakti the instructions come primarily from the Vidhi, from the scriptural rule. Whereas in Raganuga Bhakti the instructions come, or the impetus for service comes primarily from one's own inspiration. That is the difference between Vaidhi and Raganuga Bhakti. So now here, let's understand Ragatmika and Raganuga by looking at what is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So let's look at Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 20.154. This is Dharanudhar Maharaj's Waves of Devotion. Virajantim abhivyaktam prajavasi janadishu ragatmikam anushrutta ragatmikam anushruta yasa raganugochate. So yasa raganugochate. This is uchate, is said to be. What is it said to be? Raganuga. Anuga means following. So that which is following in the footsteps of those who are in Raga Marga. And then Virajantim Abhivyaktam. That which is Virajantim. It is Virajantim, which it illumines and shines. Abhivyaktam is fully accepted. Vrajavasi Janadishu. So Vrajavasi Janadishu. So this Ragatmika Bhakti is present primarily in the residents of Vrindavan. Ragatmika Anushruta. It's following in their footsteps. So those who are Ragatmika Bhakta, so you follow in this way, yasa raga anugochate. So that means the Ragatmika devotees are the devotees in the spiritual world, who are eternally there in the spiritual world. And raga anuga are the devotees here who follow in the footsteps of the devotees in the spiritual world. So described in the elevated scriptures of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sastra, that when a devotee is at a very advanced stage in devotion, then the devotee meditates on the Lord, meditates on the associates of the Lord, and finds a particular associate most inspiring. And when a person finds this particular associate most inspiring, then there's a bond that's formed between that associate and the Lord. And the bond is based on or centered on spiritual attraction to Krishna. So the devotee starts in a spiritual mood of honoring and of serving, start caring for serving for the Lord in the way this eternal associate serving. That means there will be a devotee in the spiritual world who is Yashoda Mai, and she is serving Krishna, and then Yashoda Mai and some associate from Nanda Maharaj's house, one of the ladies, may fall in the material world. And when she falls in the material world, and one of the eternal associates of the Lord is there in the spiritual world, doesn't fall, but there's an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world, and there's a sadhaka in the material world. That sadhaka aspires to follow in the footsteps. So there's Yashoda Mai serving in Vatsalya Rasa, and there's a devotee here in the material world, and that devotee aspires to follow in the footsteps of Yashoda Mai. That means serve Krishna in Vatsalya Rasa. Now this devotee in the material world may be in a male or a female form, that doesn't matter, because the forms that we have here are just the results of past karma. They have got nothing to do with the original swarupa of the soul in the spiritual world. So whatever be the form, the devotee feels inspired to serve in a particular way. And then when the devotee gets in that, goes absorbed into that mood then. Say the mood of the Ragatmika Bhakta. And by that, gradually the devotee starts developing in that mood of devotion and eventually enters into that mood and enters into the spiritual world to become an assistant of Yashoda Mai in the spiritual world. So that's how Raganuga Bhakti is modeled on the Ragatmika Bhakti. Anuga means to follow. So the Ragatmika Bhaktas, Rag is the essence of those devotees. Yashoda Mai, her very essence and purpose of existence is loving and caring for Krishna. And based on that, Raga Anuga. There may be some devotees who may serve over here in that mood. So Yasa Raga Anuga Uchate. That is Raga Anuga Bhakti. Now, Raga Anuga is a very advanced stage and we cannot prematurely jump into it. So once Srila Prabhupada's disciples first came to Vrindavan, they're quite excited. Oh, this is the pastor, the place of Krishna, Radha and Krishna performed Rasdila over here, all the wonderful pastimes performed over here. So then they started going here and there. And one day, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada found there is one devotee who had locked himself up in the room. And they found that there were some strange noises coming from that room. And they tried to hear, what was it? They couldn't make out. And they found that it seems to be like a bird. But then they realized after that it's a human being chirping like a bird, trying to imitate the sounds of a bird. And then they somehow got the door open and they found there was this devotee who was acting like a peacock. No, and it was moving the leg back and forth like a peacock, neck back and forth, and trying to make sound like a peacock. And they said, what are you doing? He said, actually I had gone to an advanced guru in Vrindavan and he told me that you are a peacock in the spiritual world. So I am practicing now. I am practicing as a peacock so that when I go back to the spiritual world, I will be a well-seasoned peacock. So Prabhupada heard this is nonsense, Prabhupada said. We cannot prematurely, artificially start imagining things like this. It is true that when a devotee becomes advanced, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Jaiva Dharma, that when a devotee becomes very advanced, the spiritual master calls the devotee and tells and reveals the swarupa of that devotee in the spiritual world. Of course, it's not necessary that it has to happen for everyone, because for some people, swarupa siddhi can happen after death also. So it's not to say that it has to happen for everyone in this life, and it's not that if it doesn't happen, that means one is not necessarily not practicing devotional service properly. No, one shouldn't get paranoid about these things. But let's look another aspect about Raganuga Bhakti. Yeah. Here. Ishte swarasiki ragaha parama paramavishtata bhavet tanmaye ya bhavet bhakti satra ragatmikodita. Satra means that is ragatmok udita. It is said to be ragatmika. And then, so this is ishte swarasiki ragaha, and to the desired object of the life. So for devotee, that is Krishna. So swarasiki, rasa means the sweetness, mellow flavor. Swarasiki means one's own mellow. Ragaha. Raga means attachment. Param avishtata bhavet. That means absorption in the service of the Supreme bhavet. There is tanmaya bhavet bhakti. Tanmaya bhavet bhakti. So there is tanmay means attachment. Bhavet bhakti. That which attachment which is filled with bhakti. So, sa atra ragatmikotita. So, when the devotee has very deep sense of devotion for Krishna, very strong attraction for Krishna, that is called ragatmika. And when there's a devotee who models one's own life based on that advanced devotee's, that liberated eternal associate's devotional service, that is called as raga anuga. Now, the word raga means color. So raga anuga means one is trying to imbibe that color, and ragatmika means that color is deeply internalized. So what does this color refer to? Just as when if I wear red color glasses, then everything seems red to me. So ragatmika means that the rag is so deep. For Yashoda Mai, the rag, the vatsalya bhava is so deep that Yashoda Mai naturally sees everything in relationship with Krishna, and even Krishna himself from the motherly perspective. So she doesn't see Krishna to be God. She sees Krishna as a child who needs my protection, who needs my discipline, who needs my mother's milk, or who needs my needs me to feed him, otherwise he will stay hungry. So that is Rahagatmika. This means the very essence of one's life is colored by that feeling. And Raga Anuga means one is trying to develop that feeling. One is trying to develop that coloring of the consciousness. Now after this, describing Raga Anuga and Raga Atmika, then he moves on to talk about two kinds of Raga Atmika Bhakti. There is Sambandha Rupa and there is Kama Rupa. So to understand Sambandha Rupa and Kama Rupa, let's look at another verse, a famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami quote this, 7.131. Gopya kamad bhayat kamso vesha chaidya dayo nrupaha sambandhad vrishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. So here there is a description of the different ways in which devotees can attain perfection. So before and after these verses, if you read the verses, the point of this verse becomes clear. The point of this verse is that all these people in this way, they absorb, in these ways, they absorb their mind in Krishna, and by absorbing their mind in Krishna, they attain perfection. So gopya kamad, so by kama, the gopis were attracted to Krishna. Bhayat, kamso, straightforward. Kamsa was extremely fearful. It is said that Kamsa at night, when his wives would come next to him, he would just say, hey, this is Krishna and Balaram coming. He's so shaken, oh, Krishna and Balaram have come. So now how many people, when they see their wife coming, they think about Krishna and Balaram, or when they see their husband coming, they think of Krishna and Balaram. It's very difficult. We tend to see our spouse and material thoughts come up in our mind. But Kamsa, we could say, was so Krishna conscious that when he saw his wife, he did not see his wife. He saw Krishna or he saw Balaram. So how is that? His boy is so fearful that Krishna is going to come and kill me. So now again, the point here is not that fear is glorified. It is not. If you remember, anukul uttama bhakti is anukul anya. Anyabilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana avritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti anukulyena. So it should be with the intent to please. So he did not intend to please. So here the point is not whether his intention was there or not. The point was that he was absorbed in Krishna. And then dvesha chaidya dayo nrupaha. Dvesha, that means out of envy, chaidya dayo, chaidya is referring to Shishupal. So he was very envious of Krishna and he would blaspheme Krishna. And Krishna tolerated his blasphemy many times because he had given a benediction to Shishupal's mother that I will tolerate up to 100 blasphemies, but if he blasphemes me more than that, then I'll kill him. So in the Rajasuya Yajna, when Krishna was offered the Agra Puja, Shishupal became so enviously outraged, blaspheming Krishna. And you know, just as actually on the more positive side, when Keshav Kashmiri started speaking, so 100 verses glorifying Krishna or glorifying Ganga came through his mouth. So there's a flow of nectar. But when Shishupal was angry, he started, is out of that envy, he started blaspheming Krishna, and 100 more blasphemies came out. And Krishna said, now it is. Shishupal had got so angry that he had forgotten to count, but Krishna had not forgotten to count. And when the blasphemy count exceeded the mark, then Krishna sent his Sudarshan. He was cut off. But he was thinking of Krishna even when he was cut off. His head was cut off. Sambandhad vrishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Sambandhad vrishnaya. The vrishnis, once they had a relationship with Krishna based on either Krishna was their child, or Krishna was their cousin, or Krishna was their uncle, or Krishna was their grandfather. Like that, they had relationships also. And Vrishnaya Sne Sammanda Vishna Snehad Yuyam Bhaktyavayam Vibho. So Yuyam, here Narada Muni is speaking to the Pandavas, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he says, saying, how are you related? You are relating Snehad. Your relationship is of affection. And then Bhayat with Bhaktyavayam Vibho. Then all of us, Narada Muni is putting himself in a lower position than everyone else, and he's saying, Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. How are we related? We are related through the feeling of devotion. So now how many are there here? Gopyaha kamat, bhayat kamso, vesha chaidad yon rupah. The three are there in the first two lines. And then sammandad vrishnaya. So the six, one more is the sammanda. And snehad yuyam. Yuyam, you are out of sneha. That is the sixth one. And seventh is bhakti avayam. So we devotees are out of bhakti. Now the seven Rupa Goswami reduces to two. How does he reduce them to two? He reduces them to two by analysis. So which are the eternal rasas? So certainly Kamsa is not eternally present in the spiritual world fearing Krishna. So fear is not anukul to bhakti. Similarly, envy is not anukul to bhakti. So he leaves those two out. Vyad kamsho desha chaidyadayondrupa. These two he leaves out. Then there is sambandhad vrishnayaha. That vrishnis are out of sambandha. Now they are, now some, the vrishnis, they have very intimate affection for Krishna. And their affection is very exalted and very sweet. And that is also ragatmika, because there is eternal spiritual world. Eternally they are serving in the spiritual world. Now snehad yuyam. So Pandavas are in affection. So is Pandavas bhakti ragatmika? Not necessarily. So Pandavas, they have very sweet relationship with Krishna, but Rupa Goswami explains that quite often their feelings are filled with awe and reverence. They are aware of Krishna's greatness, and therefore he says this is also not an eternal category. And this is also not a not a distinctive category. And then you bhaktya yuyam. So he said these are, so when so Narad Muni, out of his humility, is putting himself, we are actually meditating on him out of bhakti. So this is more of at the level of duty, obligation. And this is also not eternal. So at the eternal level, bhakti is in a particular rasa. So he says in this way the ways of ragatmika bhakti are reduced from the seven categories in this verse to two. The two are sambandha and kama, and that's how we have kama rupa and sambandha rupa. Now in one sense we could see that kama rupa is also a type of sambandha rupa only, because even the devotee goes to say, and kama, sambandha means relationship, and kama means also relation. Kama means attraction. We'll look at what kind of attraction it is. And that also involves some sambandha. But in a technical sense, this kama is put separate because it is so preeminent, it is so extraordinary, it is so special that there is nothing like it. So that is special. So even the yadus, the vrishnis, they are also very exalted devotees. And they are also eternal associates of the Lord. And so one can model oneself on those eternal associates also, sambandha rupa. But especially the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they exalt the devotees in Vrindavan, and especially Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargenava Kalpita. There is no one who worships like the Vadhus of Vrindavan, that is the gopis. So they are the topmost devotees, and Kamat. So now here Rupa Goswami is at once prompt to differentiate between Kama and Prema. So we have discussed this earlier, that Atmendriyati Pritichcha Tare Bole Prom Kam Krishnendriyati Pritichcha Krishnendriya Pritichcha Dhare Premna. So Kam is selfish. Kam is based on the desire for one's own gratification, whereas Prema is based on the desire for Krishna's pleasure. So the gopis, they may appear to be selfish sometimes, in the sense that sometimes the gopis may be very, very careful about their appearance, the way they are decorating themselves, the way they are dressing themselves, and they may seem to be very conscientious. But the purpose of that consciousness is Krishna's pleasure. They want to please Krishna. They know that Krishna is going to behold us, and if we are beautiful, Krishna will be pleased. So although their actions may sometimes appear selfish, they are selfless. They are motivated by the desire to please Krishna. And we see that from another occasion, when Krishna plays the flute and calls them, then what happens? Now they are not thinking. You know, sometimes a couple has to go out And the husband says, now it is time, we have to leave. And the wife says, no, I have to dress. And the wife keeps waiting, keeps the husband waiting. But she's concerned about her appearance so much. She's not concerned there about making sure that one has to reach on time. So the gopis are not like that. Gopis are not telling Krishna, we are not ready, wait. So when Krishna plays his flute, calling the gopis, they just leave and come, rush off immediately. And it is described that sometimes the gopis are not even dressed properly. So there are sometimes when they are applying some mascara in their eyes, you know, mascara is applied only in one eye and the other eye is not applied. Or the dress which is meant for one part of the body is put on another part of the body. Or they have an ornament only in one ear and not in the other ear. Now this would consider to be a terrible thing. Most women would feel that if they are forced to appear like this, they'll think, what will people think about me? They would be appalled, they would be horrified. Even if they are forced, they will not come. They will try to resist coming out in public, not properly decorated and adorned. But then when the gopis saw that Krishna called them, immediately the gopis left. Their concern is simply Krishna's pleasure. So for Krishna's pleasure, they will dress themselves very opulently, very beautifully. And other times for Krishna's pleasure, they will just leave everything and go. Whatever is required for Krishna's pleasure. So their love is completely pure and transcendental. And Prabhupada would often say, here also Rupa Goswami says this point, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, was such a strict renunciate. Why would he be attracted to anything which involves sexuality? No, he would never be attracted. But that is transcendental. We have discussed this difference earlier in our Nectar of Instruction also, while we were discussing about Radharani's love, that there is negative axis and there is positive axis. So the male-female attraction is a negative axis. Then at zero is there is no attraction. And on the positive axis, there is an attraction between Krishna and the devotees. So the word kaam is used, but kaam, this is not material kaam. This is actually, it's very pure desire, but just because that desire cannot be understood at the material level, so therefore, to give us a glimpse of the intensity of that desire, the word kaam is used. It's pure transcendental desire. And this, so the Raganuga Bhaktas, they model themselves on the Ragatmika Bhaktas. Those who are Ragatmika, so in the advanced stage, a devotee thinks, okay, this is a particular associate. And I want to model, I want to serve Krishna the way this devotee is serving. And in that way, one can absorb oneself in Raganuga Bhakti. So we'll discuss more about Raganuga Bhakti in our next class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.